Now, in his final speech, the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has delivered a damning assessment of the conflict in Syria. Now, Mr. Ban said all sides on the ground shared blame, but he added that the powerful patrons had, his words, blood on their hands. Now, the latest ceasefire in Syria has collapsed. It's less than a week after it came into effect. An airstrike on an aid convoy, and the US has blamed Russia for that. Now, speaking on RN Breakfast this morning, the president of the Syrian American Medical Association, Dr. Ahmed Tarakji, said the international community had failed Syria.
At the end of the day, it's us, the humanitarian operation people, and the people on the ground, the average citizen inside Syria is losing. But not just that, unfortunately. The message right now is very clear to the warlords across the globe that, you know, you can get by doing anything as long as you know how to play the political game.
From RN Breakfast this morning. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Professor Ramesh Thakur. He's director of the Crawford Centre at the ANU and a former Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
That attack on the aid convoy in Syria, the ceasefire, it's dead?
Well, it looks like that, but no doubt they will negotiate another one. I think if you wind back, the breakdown begins with the mistaken American airstrikes on Syrian troops, in which I think British and Australian military personnel were also involved, in which also many more Syrian soldiers were killed. But then that doesn't justify this. And yes, I think the palpable anger that you see and you can hear in the Secretary General's words and speech reflects extreme frustration that the humanitarian workers are no longer immune from attacks by both sides, really.
I mean, a pair of events that you isolate there, which are typical of this conflict and typical of what the Secretary General says of the groups, the powerful patrons in the Syrian conflict with blood on their hands, in this case represented by the United States and Russia.
Yes, I think at various times over the course of the United Nations checkered history, the permanent members have been guilty to different degrees of that. And it goes back to the veto power. And it's all very well for the Secretary General to accuse the perpetrators of this one of cowardice, but he hasn't displayed exemplary courage himself in previously identifying perpetrators of some outrages. I don't recall that he used similarly strong language, for example, when the Americans bombed the MSF hospital in Afghanistan. And had that been an Afghan hospital, by the way, I think the Americans would have got away with it. If you remember, they used four different storylines over the 4 days until finally they admitted, yes, it was their fault.
Well, it's an interesting point that you raise. I mean, Ban Ki-moon there condemning everybody involved in the conflict for the current situation other than the United Nations. I mean, has the UN done enough in this conflict, in your view?
The UN has not done enough under his stewardship. There's an interesting article by Gideon Rathman of the Financial Times at the start of the year when I began taking note of articles on the choice of the next Secretary General. When he said effectively that the United Nations badly needs an effective Secretary General and the globalization has slipped into the sidelines of international politics under Ban stewardship, which echoed earlier assessments which were equally damning by the then Washington Post correspondent, Colin Lynch, where he said that under Ban Ki-moon, the United Nations has lost its moral leadership, staff are demoralized, member states are dissatisfied and disillusioned. And something needs to be done. But if you go back again 10 years ago, Ban Ki-moon was chosen in October 2006. As early as April, I think, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice decided that the Americans did not want a strong Secretary General. And the person that she identified in a conversation with her ambassador, John Bolton, in June, was Ban Ki-moon, even though the decision was not formally made until October. So it's a deliberate choice by the powers that be, the patrons of perpetrators, if you like, again, to have an ineffective, compliant Secretary General rather than someone who stands up for international values, speaks in the name of the international community, and calls the shots as he or she sees it. And you see this again, but there's a strong sentiment this time around to have a woman but most of the women candidates for the Secretary General are being ignored by the Security Council. So there is a deep-seated pathology of the Security Council, dominated by the five nominal members, which needs urgently to be addressed and redressed. Otherwise, I'm afraid the United Nations will keep sliding into more and more irrelevance.
Well, the United Nations, of course, an organisation structurally hampered in an instance like Syria, where you have powers behind various sides who, of course, can veto each other within the Security Council.
Well, yes, that's true. But on that one, I think we have to remember that the veto is a symbol of the problem, not the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is that when great powers are in disagreement, it's very difficult to get any progress. When the great powers are in agreement, then if they work through the United Nations, it reduces the transaction cost and makes the compliance much easier. So I don't think we should get too hung up on the, as I said, the symptom rather than the cause.
Mm.
The basic cause is the major powers have different interests and different perspectives and points of view on Syria. NATO made a fatal error in exceeding resolution of the Security Council in changing from civilian protection to regime change in Libya. After that, Russia and China were not going to grant similar authority. The United States, I think, made a fundamental mistake at the start of the Syrian crisis in saying Assad has to go. That left them very little room, in fact, no room to negotiate. And early on, I think, there was scope for negotiation, provided they had abandoned that as the bottom line. Now I think they're caught in a situation where both sides are in opposite camps. And the price has been paid essentially by Syrian people. Having said that, I mean, Ban Ki-moon is right. Disproportionately, the blame for the civilian deaths in Syria, as of today, over the past decade or however long that has been since 2011, 5 years, rests with the government. But that's not to say that the opposition forces are not to blame. It doesn't mean that the Western side doesn't have some culpability in this continuing atrocities as well.
Professor, thanks so much for your time this evening. A fascinating perspective.
You're welcome.
Professor Ramesh Thakur, he's director of the Crawford Centre at ANU, and a man who knows of what he speaks when it comes to the United Nations, former Assistant Secretary General of that organisation.